So we're live.
Live. Hi everyone and welcome to the Nerdy Up North podcast. It's a nerdy podcast hosted by Northern Nerds. I am one of your hosts, Sam.
And I am very warm today. It's, I don't know why. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm really warm too.
I am the other host, Paul, and we are joined by a fabulous, amazing guest. I wouldn't, no, actually, I'm going to change that. I wouldn't call you a guest anymore because it's your third appearance. So I would say a
Part of the
friend,
furniture?
a part of
Yeah.
one of the team now. No, I'm not going to go. I'm not put that pressure
I'm
on
not
you.
going to put that
You don't want that. But
on
yes, we are joined by the amazing Kelly. If you haven't heard of her, are you on TikTok? Are you on
Yeah.
social media? She is a little bit of a sensation. She is the Game of Thrones historian. Yes, she has the balls to put that out there that she has that name. So well done, Kelly.
And she has the knowledge to
Yeah.
back it up too.
Very much so. But yes,
Very much appreciated.
how are you, Kelly? It's been a minute since we attacked you down London, and scared you a little bit. And you had
No,
looked after a drunk Jake as well.
oh yes. Well, you know, when they're passing these trays around, you know, it'd be rude to say no. So, no, I'm good. Everything's been going canny since I last saw you in person. So, and thank you for having us back on. And I'm very excited about this topic. Even
Yes.
though I am a Game of
Me too.
Thrones historian, I'm not a Hunger Games historian yet, but
No.
one day maybe I'll get there.
It's one of those
Well.
things where you see something posted and you get an idea. And I was like, oh, Kelly's into the Hunger Games. We've never talked about the Hunger Games. And you've not really done much content on it yet. So I was like, oh, can we get in there first and say we're
Yeah.
one of the first people to talk to the Hunger Games with the new
Yeah.
historian going forward? So
I
yeah.
will say I've got to give out like a huge like thank you to two of my besties, Kayla Reese and Elle still from Brooklyn, who I do videos and lives with them all the time on TikTok. They were saying, you know, I think you'd like this story because I'd never given Hunger Games a chance, and I was like, I thought it was, at the time I'd said, I thought it was like Spy Kids, so
Okay.
yeah. Totally wide of the mark. I had no idea
Yeah.
that this was going to be something I really enjoyed, and so I was like, okay, well, give it a go. You might like it. Read the books and see how you find it. And I got so into the books straight away, and I was like, I can't wait to watch the movies. Like, get the books out of the way. I'll watch the movies, and now I feel like I'm just trying to pick up more and more, like
Yeah.
absorb it all, because it's very similar to kind of the process I've gone through with like Game of Thrones, where you start with a little bit of information and it just builds and builds and builds. And
Yeah.
especially when you find like other creators, when the algorithm starts
Finds
algorithming
you.
you, yes, there's a really
I've
awesome
given up on the
creator who
algorithm now. The algorithm can fuck off.
I've been very lucky with the Hunger Games algorithm because I came across this incredible woman who's I think her name's Nicole or Nicolette, and she is like a Hunger Games teacher, and she
All
talks
right.
about the Hunger Games with her students, and some of the ideas that she's put out there are just, it's just brilliantly inspired. I'm like, oh, I love when you just come across creators who really care about what they're talking about and they know their stuff.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it's been a really good experience for me to be able to now engage with that content. Because before I would see the odd thing and I thought, oh, that's not for me. So I didn't really have much knowledge. So it's building it up and being like, oh, okay. And then thinking about it from different angles and from what different people say
Yeah.
to kind of get a better picture of it. And so I feel like, even though it's only been about a year or something, maybe not even that long. I can't even remember when it was, but it wasn't that long ago. And then I'm like, I can't get enough of it.
Yeah,
So, and I'm
I get
so
that.
excited for like the timing of it, because like the new book coming out this year, like
We
people were
will
like,
get into that.
yeah,
That's all
everyone was like,
Sammy's went. That's all Sammy's went on this week. I get to talk to someone about this book. I'm so
because I've never
excited.
talked to
You timed it
anyone so well, like of all times to start getting into it right when they're doing a book and then another movie and all. It's just like I've got very, very lucky with the timing. So yeah.
Well, what I'll do is I'll do the disclaimer and then we'll crack on open the Hunger Games because I have been dying to talk about this for a very, very long time. Yes.
So,
Everything discussed in today's episode is our opinions and our opinions alone. If you'd like to discuss anything from today's episode, please come and join us on the Facebook group. You can join the Nerdy Up North Discord or the comment section where we can have an open discussion. But what we won't have is anyone coming for us and telling us our opinions are wrong, because we can all agree to disagree in fandom. So let's keep it fun, keep it kind, and keep the toxic behaviour out of a nerdism.
Well said.
Cheers.
And I want to make the joke now, because, like I say, I noticed this earlier and I made the fun of Sammy earlier. Yes, Sammy has been watching too much of It's Always Sunny, and she is turning into the Catwoman from there as well.
I came on and he went, you've got cat ears. I went, that's me fucking hair.
It's the fashions. That's what it is.
It's not. It's dirty hair and having nothing to be able to do with it and just tying it up like this because I had to go out.
She's trying to snag Dennis. That's all she's trying to do.
But it looks like they're sitting on top of me headset, but no.
Maureen it's definitely Ponderosa realness.
Living for it. I'll be
with chicken pants next as well.
Oh my God. Just imagine if I just start coming on and gradually like have whiskers one day and then like a little black nose the next. And like,
you'll just see a laser in the background and you'll be like,
but I do that anyway. Yeah, I don't know.
She is the Doug from Up as well. It's like, oh, squirrel.
I really am. Hi everyone in the chat. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the Sunday episode. Yep. Where do we even start?
So it's an interesting place to start with, because you used to have read the books. I haven't, so I am just like a movie person when it comes to the stories and stuff. It's one of those. I enjoyed the movies. Enjoyed's the wrong word. I loved the movies. I thought they were done well. Until certain aspects, which again we'll get into. I thought the first movie was absolutely brilliant and set this tone. I think the reason why I love the premise of the movies, it's very much the Running Man cross between Battle Royale in certain aspects, if you're looking like say what the storyline, but then it goes a little bit deeper with like the political element. But with used to reading the books and seeing the movies, is there a big difference between the two, or is it, did they get the vibe right, or the characters the same? And was Jennifer Lawrence the first female action hero that she claims to be as well?
Oh my God, what a statement! It still makes me toes curl. Oh no. I'll let Kelly go first. She's fairly new to it.
I'll say there are some, for the most part, the gist of it, yes, I'd say they're fairly accurate, but there are a few things that are quite major. Like in the books, like Peter winds up losing part of his leg. And so it's like, and that is not something that they did on the movies. And that does change like a huge part of his character. So I don't think I know it well enough to say whether that's the right or wrong decision. There are people who are like way more invested and they have stronger opinions. But it's an example of like the change, which might not necessarily impact the storyline directly, but it does have an impact.
Yeah.
So it's little things like that.
So so the bit where you could compare that to is like the Walking Dead comics, when Rick loses his hand in the show, that they decided not to because it would have like kind of hindered him throughout.
Yeah, Kirkman didn't want it hindered in the show capacity. And I kind of get that to a degree with Peter. What got me, though, is I've watched these films when they came out, and I did get them given to me as a Battle Royale. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what it's kind of like. It's a teenage version of Battle Royale
that's
for
That's what
Americans.
My husband said. He was like, first thing he said, and I was like, you know when you try to tell somebody about something, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, never mind then. He's like,
exactly.
You know. I'm like, okay, never mind me.
I went and watched it. I like Jennifer Lawrence, even if she isn't the first action hero that a woman action hero. But when I watched it, it was, there's so much more. The political side of it, the industrial side of it, the way the Panama is all structured out. I only read the books 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. My husband bought them for Christmas and they just sat there until one day I went, I'm going to do this. I've always wanted, and I really, it's one of those moments where I'm like, I wish I did this first. Mm-hmm. And for none other any reason, I love the films. I just wish I knew this Katniss first, even though in the first book it drove me absolutely insane how much Suzanne Collins went into Katniss's hunting techniques. I didn't need to be in the forest with her as much as what she thought we did. It was so infuriating. But that aside, there was one moment in the end of the last book, the end of the first book, that really made me go, oh my God, what an impact this would have been if it was in the movie. And it was the scene with the beasts where they all had everyone's faces.
Right, all
and
right.
it was and Rue is looking at her,
mm-hmm.
and it's such a harrowing, heartbreaking moment for Katniss to be in, because she has these, what are they called again, you know, that
the mutts,
that's it, she has the mutts after her, and it's all the tribute's faces, their eyes,
yeah,
are
like
all looking,
superimposed on or something,
and they're looking directly at her, and it's like, that would have been so impactful towards Katniss's mindset going into the second one. Because in the second one, she's so torn between the person she has to be and the person that come out of the games. And I just thought that extra bit kick in the teeth might have just, like, I don't know. That's just that was just how I felt after I finished reading it. But I blitzed them books. I did not want to leave. I wanted to be by Hamish's side the whole time. Like, I love him so
proper
much.
Addictive, though. Like, I didn't expect to be as into it. Like, I read, I think it was Catching Fire, I read in like 2 days, and I don't read that quickly.
No, me neither.
Like, do you know what I mean? And it's when you're just like, the sun started coming up, I was like, what time is it? How long have I
what
been?
What did I do?
But it was just so, like, it hooks you in. And I think it's classed as, like, YA content, I suppose. Like, I always see the Hunger Games in, like, the YA section of, like, Waterstones and what have you.
Yeah.
But I don't think it is necessary. I wouldn't class that as, like, young adult per se.
No.
And it's like, I don't, it's the same way I don't think The Hobbit is necessarily a children's book. Like, I know it can be.
No.
You can make it sound a bit cuddlier.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think it's more real, more adult than.
There's a little bit more layers to it, type thing. Because, as you said, if any young adult, like, probably. Like, not to upset anyone who's watching, this probably does get compared to, like, other books like Twilight Saga and stuff like that, because that's getting the young adult section. But this, the films theme very differently, and I suppose the tones and the themes in the books would hit a little bit differently. I think what I got from the movie was, like, the big things was the PTSD of the characters, of the effect of being involved in these games, and kind of, especially, like, the second movie is a big one, because they're getting sent back after winning, like, all these winners, and they're pissed off, and, like, very,
like, Joanna,
oh,
she just, I mean, you couldn't not root for her when she was like just letting rip, and it was like we all felt for her, but they're angry because
that
this
fuck
is
you she gives is just
like
yeah.
The deal was we would not be bothered, and like they've been through enough to do it again. It's just the whole thing of pulling the strings, like changing the rules on a whim, and then change the rules again for the next year and say, well, only going to use previous tributes or previous winners, whatever.
Because it was the quarter quill, because of the quarter quill type thing.
Yeah.
But it was, like, because this could have just been a straight out, like, action movie, or, like, say, went out the way they did it. And I thought, like, for, like, a blockbuster or, like, a franchise of movie that is still ongoing now, there's a new movie in the works.
We had
the prequel not too long ago. What was it called again? The Ballad of the Songbird and the Snakes. Again, it's ongoing, but having these kind of themes and stuff and putting it in a dystopian world, it's, you can try and, like, dispense a little bit of disbelief, but in the political climate that we are in at the moment, it's not that far-fetched, which is scary enough.
It's not. Yeah. It's absolutely terrifying.
There's like a ring of, like, almost deja vu, like kind of, is this about us?
Yeah.
Is this play about us? Like,
does Suzanne know something we don't?
Yeah.
Like, this is a bit weird. To go to the prequel just for a quick second, so I can get this out the way with, because I really did not like it. I didn't like
the book or the movie, or both.
I didn't like her writing style in it. It didn't feel like her. It didn't feel like I was in the, like, I had been with Hunger Games. It felt very disjointed, and I kind of get it to a degree, but I still feel like we should have. I felt when I read the new one, exactly the same place as I was with Hunger Games, if not hyped up more. But with this one, I was just waiting for that moment, that evil snap, and it just didn't really happen for us. You could see the parallels of how the Hunger Games were to how where he gets in power and he changes them. You can kind of see how that is all going to play out, but he doesn't. He's not evil at all. There was just something, I don't know.
But wasn't
just
that
didn't push it?
But wasn't they trying to give like say a Snow a kind of a sympathetic edge, or like make you kind of
because I think that's why with Sunrise on the reaping, like all the memes were like Suzanne Collins saw everybody feeling sorry for Snow and she decided to correct that.
Yeah,
I think it definitely it was like, for lack of a better term, a whitewashing of Snow, but you still understand certain things. But I think for me, my favorite character from Ballad was Tigress, because you can see somebody who's gone through pretty much the same situation as Snow, like poverty, genuinely terrified of what's going to happen, like no idea how they're going to provide, all that kind of stuff, and it's totally understandable. But it's just two people who react very differently, and I know she wasn't as involved with the games at that point as he was, like she wasn't a mentor or anything, but she still saw everything that was going on, and
she wasn't
saw the effect
blinded by
on him.
It.
And it's interesting how she turns out to be a supporter of the rebels by the time we get to like Mockingjay.
Yeah.
And I'm so fascinated as to what went down. Like obviously something
Between
went down, but like specifics. Like yes, he's turning into his father, but how so? And like what exactly like was it that broke the what was the straw that broke the camel's back?
Yeah.
Because they were so close. And then they're polar opposites. And it's interesting how you can start off so close and things can go
and they
so
were.
Differently.
They were so close.
Yeah.
The descriptions of when she's dressing them is so loving that you kind of like, you don't want
like
to leave
tender.
That. It's so sweet and you don't want to leave that moment. When he's in that house with his grandmother and her, you don't want to leave that version of him because you know where it's going. So
as soon
it's
as
like,
he steps outside, actually, as soon as he starts like, removing himself from the family, you start to see like he's more snarky and he's more cynical and he's more like bit dodgy.
I just wanted something so much more because I don't know why, it's just because I know him. I feel like I know him and I know what he's going to do and I know the kind of person he's going to be, and it just didn't feel like that
the journey
was
to get
but even the Snow in the movies, like they say the main trilogy, I didn't see him as 100% evil son of a bitch. That's the thing, because well, it might be in the casting, like with Donald Sutherland, because I love Donald Sutherland. Like, I've got a
legend.
Like such a
legend.
Soft spot. Like anything you see him in, like I go back to even Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Like shit movie, he was class. But it there was seems like desperation, but he was a man who wanted power, and then. At the end, when you get the, like, say, when Katniss is meant to be executing him, he gets his comeuppance in the way that was rightfully so, but he doesn't do the ultimate evil task in that situation. He's not the one that plants the bombs to the innocents and stuff like that. He's done a lot of bad things. I'm not going to say it. But again, I can go back to the prequel. Like I say, I wasn't the biggest fan of the movie. It just felt like it wasn't needed, but again, it's telling a different story, giving a different perspective. I could see the building blocks of how Snow got there, like started off then got there. It's just like, as you said, it was missing a lot more things to happen in his life, which again, he's never going to go from end of that movie, he's this evil big tirade thing. There's going to be a lot more things that's going to happen and things he's going to learn along the trails. But you could see the thing, because I didn't see him as this. It's one of them things. Ultimate power corrupts ultimately, but he's still. I think he's right
about some things. I think the problem with Snow is he has moments where he's completely candid, and you're like, oh, he's right. But then he does other things that make him look sus.
Yeah.
So it's like it's hard to get a read on him, because it's when he says to Katniss, you know, we're not going to lie to each other.
Yeah,
I feel like that whole interaction, it's
genuine.
Yeah, it was absolutely
genuine.
And I think that is like what he could have been. Like he has integrity, but he's happy to put it to the side when he wants to, and he knows he does it. Like he's not like pretending, whereas you've got someone like Coyne who's putting on this whole persona and this front, this kind of moral high ground. Snow, to his credit, he knows who he is.
Yes, absolutely. You're absolutely right.
That is a rarity with a lot of characters. It's kind of like, it's what I think a lot of people think Tywin Lannister is like in Game of Thrones. But I actually think, personally, for me, Tywin is in denial. Like, he can't admit it.
Yeah.
But Snow can. Like,
yeah,
yeah, I do bad things. At least, to his credit, he can acknowledge that. And at least that's hope that maybe things could change. You know, if his ending was different, he maybe could have been reined back in. Because at least he's aware. It's not like he's delusional.
No, no, he was never.
That's what I kind of the impression I got as well.
Well, I feel like if he did, the time he spent with Katniss felt like the most real time that you ever got with them, because other times you're sitting with Plutarch and he's just, and we know where Plutarch is in all of this, but the shit that he fills him with is everything that he wants to hear, and it kind of brings that terrible side of him. So, but when he's with Katniss, it's genuine, it's heartfelt. Everything he says, he actually means.
It's some of my favorite scenes. Like, you wouldn't think it, but
I totally understand it. That then when them two are sitting face to face with each other is because they are very. It's a very honest conversation.
Yeah. Just before we go like further in the story and stuff, I think we should, with us talking about Donald Sutherland, like just spending a few moments talking about the cast, because I think they got the cast bang on and very lucky with certain cast as well, because
hell yeah,
there's some things that you think, oh, like Lenny Kravitz, for example, that shouldn't have worked. It shouldn't have worked.
You would never think, would
you wouldn't.
Who knew?
Yeah,
but I can't, even reading the books, I can't not see Senna as him. I can't. The cast, you are absolutely right, the casting in this. I like Jennifer Lawrence. I don't have a problem with her. My sister calls her Jennifer Dumbface, but hey, she can't stand that. We are very two different people.
I've only seen like a handful of Jennifer Lawrence movies. Like, I'm not super like knowledgeable about it. Like, I've seen like, what is it? The Silver Linings Playbook. Is that one?
That's so good. I like that one.
It was a long time ago though. And there was that one she did, like the Netflix movie she did with like Timothée Chalamet was in it and stuff.
Oh my God. And Don't Look Up.
Yes, that was it. Like Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, oh, she's all right. She's got a bit of something to her. And I'd always seen her like on like shows and stuff, like not like being interviewed basically, rather than like watching her acting. It was always her as a guest on like What Happens Live or something like that. And I always thought, oh, okay, she's kind of all right, she's cool, but I don't really know her catalogue. And then I experienced her as Katniss and I was like, well, I think she is probably quite a good fit. I don't think she is like, I think Linda Carter would have something to say about, you know, her going around.
maybe Sigourney Weaver might have a bit of a problem with that.
Yes, exactly. Like, you may have a, I would even throw out like Elvira to a degree.
She had a Rambo scene in her movie, so.
So, you know what I mean? But it's one of those things where it's like going back to the Lenny Kravitz thing, like, talk about inspired. Like, you know, when you just think, who came up with that? And I also think the same thing for Viola Davis as Dr. Gall. Like, I would never have pictured Viola Davis in that role. I love her in How to Get Away with Murder, but I was like, oh my God, that's genius.
I saw her fitting in there because I've seen her play Amanda Waller and she does bad very good. So I was like,
ruthless.
I get that. Ruthless. Woody Harrelson as Hamish Abernathy. Holy shit, do I love this character so much. It was in the second book when you finally got to find out Hamish's story to a certain point. Like, you knew the reason why Hamish is the way he is because Snow took everything away from him. So the minute Suzanne Collins said, I'm doing the next book and it's going to be Hamish's story, you're like,
I was over the moon.
Oh, but when I read the books, I couldn't not picture Woody Harrelson as Hamish.
But that's the thing.
He's made such a mark with that character.
Yeah, I think when you, if you watch the movies first, they do leave the impression and, like, you start getting, like, the viewpoint. But even, like, say the thing, like, Wes Bentley as Senate Crane.
Wes Bentley. in the best way possible. Wes Bentley does bad so good, I hate him. Because Yellowstone... Jimmy can't stand him, but it's just how good Wes Bentley is
at
playing a dick.
But yeah, his facial hair in this movie was a talent just by itself.
So capital.
But I'm not letting Elizabeth Banks go without a mention, because she stole the show. Like, honestly, she really did. Like, everything that she was in, she was more than you were expecting. I know what you say, camping up a scene and like going beyond, like chewing the scene and everything like that, but it worked so well. And she's the one that grew throughout the movies as well.
Mm-hmm. Like, 100%.
I mean, like, she could have played it in a really superficial way, and she didn't.
No.
And she didn't dumb Effie down.
No.
And I think she gave her a lot of heart.
Yeah.
One of my favorite portrayals. Like, Haymitch is my favorite character. Mm-hmm. It has been from the get go. But I do have a soft spot for Effie, and it's
But seeing Effie in the final movie, like in just like the like plain clothes,
but still managing to fashion it up in an Effie kind of way. Like, she still manages to work it. The only thing I'm a bit miffed about with the new movie is that the casting that they've announced, I wish there's certain people they left out of it, because when I read them being in it, mm-hmm. I was like, holy shit. And I was like, oh my God, if people have not read the book and then they're seeing the cast and they're going to know that certain people are going to be in this movie, and it would have been such a lovely surprise for them, like it was for me when I read the book. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, I was thinking about that when I was talking about it. I was like, do I do a spoiler? But I was like,
it's so hard, isn't it now?
It's like, I didn't want to spoil it, but I was like, people are going to be halfway down a video where I'm talking about the casting of a movie of a book they've not read. It's kind of like, well, you're already in that territory.
Yeah.
So do I say anything about Effie? Because that was a surprise, because I didn't necessarily expect to see her in Sunrise. So that was a treat. And I was like, ooh. I didn't bother with a spoiler in the end.
But they've already announced the casting, so they've made the call. They've tossed it out there. But I really,
isn't it?
It is. I really wish that they, especially like, sorry guys, but Wires and Mags, yes, they're in it, and that even blew my mind. Like, even they were a part of it, and Beatrice in there, and I was like, oh my God.
Well, it makes sense that they are, because like when we see them in the second movie, it's like mentioned, like they've been in the games, they've been around the capital. These are not people who
these are Haymitch's mentors.
Yeah,
these are with him till the very end, and there's certain scenes now in Catching Fire that really hit home when he's mentioning other tributes and he mentions them, and he's kind of like, no, they're really good people. No, they're a really nice person. And it's like, oh my God, yeah, they were, because they were everything to you in that last moment.
Yeah. Because Katniss is so, like, understandably, just she doesn't know up from down, like, can I trust these people? Can I not? Like, you just, after you've been through it, the emotions are going everywhere. And so it's like, how can you trust people you don't know? And for Haymitch to say that and to kind of calm her down and reassure her, it just, it spoke volumes about, he's never forgotten, even though he's tried to forget.
No. Like, he's drank so much.
Yeah. It's like, that goes to show how traumatic it was for him and what he goes through. And it's totally understandable. Like, it makes total sense for him as a character. And then for him to be a mentor every year, it's just the scab again and again.
Yeah.
But it's never the same. No, and that's Joanna's argument as well, when she's like, not only have I done the games, I've lived the fucking life that you have expected me to live now, because you have took everything away from me. And it's the same with what's the pretty boy called?
Finnick.
That's it. He has it worse. Like, much worse. He
gets passed around
does. You can see it. That's what he does. He gets passed around to all the capital women, and he's absolutely used and abused. And it's, but again, he has to come back every year with a big smile, and everything's okay, and the capital's great. And at the same time, he's going through the worst living hell possible.
It's just, getting re-traumatized year after year after year. But then it's also, I feel like if I was in their shoes as a mentor, as a survivor, you'd also feel like a sense of like duty, like to help these kids out. Like, they've got nobody. I've got to be there.
Yeah.
I think that's why Haymitch has like carried on. He's like, I can't leave them on their own.
There's a certain part of him that still feels like he has to help, because at the end of his book, you find it hard to believe that he even got to Katniss in the first place because of where you leave him. It's so fucking heartbreaking.
So, just a question though as well, regarding the mentoring as well, because if you think about it, for each basic person that's been, there's a male and female, they've only got one mentor. There's like, I know they change the rules from time to time, but in theory, there's only one of them people that's going to survive. It's like, how do you then favor or give one person more advice and kind of like look after the other type thing more, or see who needs.
That's like, the problem, isn't it? Yeah. Like, because Katniss is like, save Peter, and he's like, oh no, save her, and they're both being like martyrs, like help the other one. But what do
that's
you do?
But that's the hardest part for Hamish, is because he is the only victor, because there was no other victors in 12. So it would be difficult for a 12 point of view to have to view that, because he's only one person. Whereas in another district, you have multiple winners who will have multiple times to like split off and have
to share the burden.
Exactly, that's right. But Hamish he's just one person, because 12 don't have very many victors.
Imagine being a career games player though, that you've a certain mentality. You just like one of them when they file the teeth down as well, so they can think it's just it's interesting being a young adult type concept. There's not young adult tones and stuff. They go for certain aspects in this as well, which blows my mind. But question to you as well, as readers and things, do you think he would survive the games?
No, I'm running out that cornucopia and I am gone, dead,
literally
done.
I'd be the first one to self-sacrifice. I'd be like, nah, screw this,
take me.
It's why I'm like, I'm not really huge into like anything zombie related, because I'm like, I wouldn't want to live. I'll happily go first. Keep them back. I'll be sacrificed, because I wouldn't want to live in that existence. I'm like,
it's not a case of I wouldn't want to. I'm not going to be able to, because I'm that stupid. It'll be me who hurts me, and not from a zombie apocalypse or from the Hunger Games. It's me who's going to do it. Like, I'm going to trip. You know, when they're running out and they're running towards this, I'm going to trip and fall, hit my head, and I'm dead. Yeah. So it'll be me who does it to myself. I'm that dumb.
So just a question about the games as well, because as we find out, the games change a little bit each year from the, like, say, because you get different games masters or people who's in charge. Like, how would you, like, trying to, like, study to survive, because the one in this second movie, I can't remember the name now, because it's trying to keep it up. It's kind of, like, based on a clock. Like, each zone has got different things. It's, like, trying to learn that mentality and trying to think. It's like problem solving with your life as well. It's just this crazy. I love that kind of concept, because it could have just been a carbon copy, just they're batting the games again, they're going to fight to the death. It's like, no, there's different things, there's different kind of
it's like to keep them interested as well, isn't it? Like, if you see the same setup every year, you're going to be like, oh, we know what's coming. So it's like, it's a cruel kind of inventive streak. Like, how can we make this entertaining?
It's a television show. At the end of the day, we have to always
propaganda.
What we're watching is a television show, and they have to make it interesting each time. They can't just, like, we've only had a handful of games because of the books that we've got, but what we've had, every one has been completely different. But some elements have been kind of the same. When I noticed in the last book, some of Hamish's parts kind of fitted into one and two. There's just tiny little bits, especially.
I agree with that. There's a lot of parallels between Katniss and Hamish when you stand back and look at their stories, and it's like, I think that's another thing, that why my heart goes out to Hamish, because he must be seeing Katniss and just thinking, it's history repeating itself all over again. And he sees this young kid, and it's just, there's nothing he can do. It's just a constant flow of tributes year after year after year. And to go through that repeatedly and being on the sidelines, it's just so traumatizing.
It really is. It is. But my question is, why her? Why is she so? Why was she so special? Why was the rebels all looking at her and going, "That's it." Like, take the Mockingjay out of it. She brings the Mockingjay into it, even though we know later on it comes from somewhere completely different. And I'm going to probably try not to cry while I don't want to talk about her. But just why her? Why was she the one that sparked the rebellion?
But if you go back to V from Vendetta, like, say, it could be anything. It doesn't have to be like one person. It's the right time, the right moment.
Everything just comes together.
One moment of kindness where she shows towards Rue. And again, it can change.
Like, it could have been like a lot of times where they've changed the story and they've edited it. So it's not widely known, but they could have come very, very close to doing something like the Mockingjay before and then failed. And then for it to just all come together, it might have just been
like the perfect storm.
Tried and tried. And you're eventually breaking down that wall.
Yeah, you see that act of human kindness and how much she's willing to go as well. Like in the first games, she goes. It's a very different look to what you think should be happening.
Yeah, because with anything, like even in any type of walks of life, and even in this world as well, having a death, like a character like Rue, who's an innocent small child, has no threat to anyone, and again, such an innocent and, like I said, charismatic character as well. And having this person who's meant to be then now the favourite to win the games, take her under her wing, show that, like say, the world isn't as scary or as nasty. And again, anything like that, that can change, like say, like people's mentality. Like, because what was it 9 or 11 that Rue was in, wasn't it? District 11. Because seeing them people then go, right, we're not that different to the people that's in these games. Like, say, even if we got the end, like Katniss was never going to kill Rue. That was never going to be like on the cards. And to see her die in like a proper brutal way as well, again, it can start like a movement, it could start like that thing. And then what people do. And this is what Katniss realizes when it gets to the third movie. It's not about her. It's got nothing to do with her. It's just like I said, people are using her as a symbol, as the reason, as the catalyst. Mm-hmm. So if she died, like then they would use her as a martyr, and they would still go on and still do that, like what they want to do. So again, the movie, and that sounds really stupid saying this, but the movie's not really about her. It's like her being the hero. It's been her going through her experience, her going through the PTSD and all the things that's going on around her, and she's just trying to basically cope with that as well.
There's a lot of highs and lows as well, where you have a really great moment and you feel hopeful, and then something will happen where it's all snatched away, and then you'll get that hope again, and then it goes away. And that's life, isn't it? You have ups and downs. And it's like seeing Katniss go on this roller coaster and trying to survive it and just trying to get to the end in one piece. But as all these different things happen, it's traumatizing her, like Rue, or whether it's Peter, or whether it's just, whether it's Prim, it's one thing after another. And it's like, but it's actually remarkable that Katniss is like alive in one piece at the end.
But she's even broken at the beginning, because they talk about like a relationship with her mom, how that's kind of like thing when they lost her father. All
the dependency as well, like her mother having a lot of issues, and Katniss having to grow up a lot earlier, a lot quicker than she was intending to.
I relate to that being the Northeast.
Yeah.
we got a lot of home troops up here, like say.
The thing is, Plutarch is obviously been looking, and I'm probably answering my own question here, but Plutarch is and has been looking for that one thing, because we get to meet Plutarch in Hamish's story, and he's been looking for that one thing. And maybe it is the case of at her reaping, she, you know, she goes instead of her sister, and then it's the connection that she has with Rue. And it's like people were gravitated. There was even the guy who got shot on the main street before she even... Was that the second one? That was the second one. So, no, but movements were happening because of actions she was taking in the games in the first one. So maybe I'm just answering my own question here.
But again, as well, it could be the shift in Snow's power. Snow wasn't as concrete and had people questioning him and not being as afraid of him at this stage. Because remember, because at the thing, Snow at this time is an old man. He's on the stage, and if we know anything from ancient culture, if you look at the Romans, when you get to a certain age, like Caesar was, like, getting stabbed in the back. People were waiting for something to happen, for a change. And again, it's kind of
it
like
just takes one spark, doesn't it? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One girl to be on fire.
Well, that's it. Yeah, she sparked a rebellion, didn't she? And let's just talk about Plutarch for a minute and the amazing job that Philip Seymour Hoffman did in this role,
and the CGI it to as life. Well.
The hat too, though. The hat. There was,
I don't know. They couldn't not to do
there
it.
Was
but yeah.
No, there was no way they could get around that one.
They could have waited until Bernie did, but still.
Imagine. This is one scene in particular that makes me chilled. Is when they're talking about the wedding, and he goes, you know, we show pictures of her in a dress, floggings. We do this, mass executions, and I'm like, oh my god, like he feeds him so much, but at the same time, it's like, it's so eerie to me because I know who he is and what he is and where he goes to. It's
like
great how double-sided.
He's like, he can switch off and focus on the task, and then you realize the reasons why he's doing what he's doing. It's just hard because the way he's going about it, it's hard to stomach some of the things because it's all for the greater good. And it's just like, is this the only way forward, or is there a way where fewer people get caught up in this, or have you tried so many years that this is what you're left with? This, like, this doesn't work, that doesn't work, we've got to try this. And I think by the time we meet him in like the Hunger Games trilogy, Plutarch is, I wouldn't say desperate is the word, but he's like, he's been through a lot of, he's tested a lot of options, and it's like they still haven't broken through. And so it's amazing that he hasn't lost hope, but it's also a bit of like a red flag, like, oh, he might up the ante and say it's for the greater good. And you get into dodgy territory a little bit.
You get
into a bit of a gray area, and it's like, where does anyone draw the line? Because you could say some of the things that Plutarch is involved in are not really things he's overly criticized for, but then we look at someone like Coyne and it's like,
Well, even her suggestion doing a Hunger Games with the capital people. Even that, like, kind of left a bit of a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths.
Like, what is all this for? Like, what have we gone through all this for?
To do the same back to them. And it's history repeating itself. I love that roundtable talk.
Brilliant. When I was first like reading that, and I was like, surely not. There's going to be a twist. This is not going to go down like this, surely. But I also really loved the scene playing out in the movie, just the way that, like, the perspective shifted from, like, where Jennifer Lawrence was, well, Katniss was pointing the arrow, and just ever so slightly shifted, and it was just... And I also think Julianne Moore was brilliant as well. Like, really, really inspired casting. It just worked.
Because you don't want to hate her. You always, like, as soon as you see her, you kind of...
She has a good couple of points. Like, she makes some really valid points. And it's like, actually, if you're in charge, you have to make hard decisions. But the problem is she just goes too far. And she buys into the lies.
It was when they were all in District 13 and she has essentially imprisoned people. And if he even says herself, like, you can I leave? Am I a prisoner here?
It's almost unspoken as well in many regards. Like, she's just, she is the top dog. She just is their leader. And it's like, where are the checks and balances? Just in case there is something
Wrong. Where's the independence? Where is people's independence and being able to go out?
Like, you're sacrificing your liberty in pursuit of liberty. It's a real mindfuck when you're like, try to get your head around it.
But when you, like, this is where this like the movies, like, and probably the books as well, do better than a lot of different things, because the characters in it aren't just the single note. They're so much more complicated. There's so much more to them. If you look at like Liam Hemsworth's Gale's character throughout, like, say the journey of, shall we say, through the movies, that could have just been a one note. It could have been as simple, just like, oh, this is the love interest, the spurn lover, but they kind of twisted that, and then he was like, oh, he was getting more indoctrinated into the rebellion, and then his mindset was changing then to the point where human life didn't kind of matter if they weren't on his wavelength or his viewpoints. And it was like, they've done this to us for years, and it's like, I can understand, like, because there's people in the real world that still act and treat people the same way, and it's kind of like refreshing that they give someone, because again, not to say that he didn't, like, Liam Hemsworth isn't a great actor and stuff like that. That could have been such a simple task, simple one note.
Initially, I thought it was going to be like a sort of Disney prince, like, just like love interest. like, and
the knight in shining armor.
Yeah, I mean, Gail's not my favorite, but like, I will say that I do think it was important to show just how easily people could become susceptible to the very thing they're trying to fight against. And it's the way human beings justify things to each other. And you can justify anything in any situation given the means and the motivation. And it's sad because I always thought the whole love interest thing, I was never really here for like his.
No.
I wasn't sure, is she leading him on? Is it unrequited? I'm much more of a fan of Peter and Katniss if we're going to do a bit of a romance.
Yeah.
But I don't even think the romances are even that big a part of the story.
No, in the second book, there was so many will they, won't they on both sides. Mm-hmm. For me at the time when I was reading it, it felt like Katniss was playing them both off. Like, it was a case of, well, if I want this one now, I'll have this one now. But if I want this one later, then I can take that one later. And that's how it felt in the books to start with. Mm-hmm. But then as it went on, you could see that the shift was starting to happen, especially more towards Peter than Gail.
Mm-hmm. But I think that's quite telling for the age that these people are in. Because again, let's be honest, me being the elder statesman here, like in my 40s, like now it's kind of like looking back, and that's not like a proper relationship now. But when I was 18 or 17, between 16 and 18, your hormones change everything. So you go, I like this person now. Oh, this person's giving me attention. I like this person now. And I'm not saying, that's like purely, like I say, a female thing. I say you get it on both sides.
I also want to add on to that. Sorry, just because it'll go out of my brain if I don't quickly get it out. It's just to add on to that point about, you know, they're just young kids and they're trying to navigate these like romances and just adult relationships whilst in the middle of the Hunger Games. So it's almost like these kids don't really stand a chance because they should not be even thinking about the things they're thinking about. They should be allowed to grow up without that fear.
Yeah.
And it's always in the back of their minds. And it's like, no wonder their relationships are just messed up all over the place.
Yeah.
It's no wonder everyone's got issues in their families. Mm. Whether you look at Katniss's family or whether you look at like Haymitch's family or whether you look at, you go around all the people that we know, and it's like all this stuff that happens, you've got the Hunger Games looming over them, and it's like life's tough enough.
It's amazing. There's so many little like heartbreaking moments in the trilogy as well. I always call it trilogy. I know there's four movies. I never agree that they should have split the last one. I think the last one should have stayed
as a trilogy. Yeah, because that's the gist, isn't it?
Yeah, I think they've overinflated and done stuff that could have been edited out. But the thing that kind of breaks your heart the most is the little moments, like when they're on the train and. Not on the train, when they're sitting on the dinner table and Peter's talking about stuff and getting all excited, and Katniss changed the mood. And Peter says, you know what?
She does.
You know what? My mother, the last thing my mum said was, is District 12 is finally going to have a winner. And she wasn't talking about me. And then he gets up and says, I've lost my appetite. I was like, oh, fuck. Not even your mother like believes that you're going to make it out of this. That's hard. Yeah.
Like the pressure that everyone's under, especially in like the non-career districts, like it's the fear. And then if it actually happens to you or your family, it's then like the reality hitting in. Like, it's going to be one of those things where not everyone's going to believe you can do it. People might think it's the other person, or people might be like, neither of you stand a chance. And all of these things will impact how you enter into the game. So it makes you wonder if there's a family that have really been heavily deprived and there's a child who's put their name into the bowl more times in exchange for Tesseract so that they can just survive. Life's already hard enough for some people in 12 to then throw into the mix, you're probably going to lose that family member. Maybe it's just like a defense mechanism.
Like an acceptance like type thing. Because this is going to happen every year. It's like, you're either going to use, you're going to lose a family member.
It's
a neighbor.
England winning the World Cup. Like, we've never seen it in our lifetime. And I don't think it's ever really happened. But it's like, you know, when like people are like, oh, well, we remember when. And it's like, but that was forever ago. And it's like, are we ever going to see a victory?
Yeah.
Or is it going to be defeat after defeat after defeat? And it feeds into the mentality of the civilization, of the culture, and like touches every part of, well, in particular, I'm thinking District 12, because obviously that's the one we know the most about, but it's just the way that the games permeate into this life. It's wild how much they take over.
And it's interesting as well, because as you said, we only get the District 12's perspective from this, and this is where I think not missing a trick is probably the thing, or possibly missing a trick is could be the term used. The writer, like say, she could have done a book on each of the districts, their perspective of like, and people like from like their point of view, because each district has a different way of life. Like Joanna's is like full of tree, like people who do
lumber
and stuff like that. So seeing their background, their things, like District 12, like miners and stuff.
Yeah, because they all adapt, don't they, to whatever their skill is.
Yeah.
And that's got to be unique for every district and weird as well, because what if you're like, well, I'm not any good with like fishing or wood or...
sequence, like, say with Katniss being a hunter, she's got the boar, and then Joanna's got the axe because chopping down trees and stuff like that. Lee asked a good question in the chat earlier. If you were in the games, I know we said we wouldn't survive. What would your like skill be? What would you could you bring to try and survive in the games type thing?
I think I would like some kind of martial arts ability.
Right.
Just to be able
to like fight. Yeah, to be able to like fight people up and stuff. Because I feel like people you're gonna get ambushed a lot of the time.
Right.
And I have zero physical strength. So I'm like, I would like to be able to like fight somebody off enough to grab your weapon or whatever.
Yeah.
I like that, or like just a classic like a crossbow would be nice.
I'm all fingers and thumbs.
Sammy would lose her fingers off shoot herself.
I would probably shoot myself.
Pop it on your foot or something like.
Yeah, exactly. I am so rageful. If somebody gets me in the right way, I can become a very rageful person. I can go from 1 to 1,000 in a second. So give me an axe, give me a sword, give me something I can like literally windmill around and swing for my life, because it's the only way I'm gonna make any impact whatsoever. But you got to get me angry. That's the thing.
So you know Sammy's telling us that she's turned into the whole.
Just make me hungry. Just make me really, really hungry, and I'll get really angry.
You know how like, in this world they have like all the little parachutes and all the technology, and they've got all these gadgets and stuff. And it's like, why don't they make an invisibility cloak like a Harry Potter style one? I would literally. Just
I'm
go
sure
and hide
I've
out
heard that somewhere before.
I would do, you know, in the arena when there's certain tributes who basically hide away in the corner and wait for everybody else to die off.
Doesn't Wireless do that in hers?
I think it is Wireless.
Oh no, it's one of the two people. Or I've come with the call. Begin with an M.
Or is it Max?
Why can't I remember?
They just hide,
They're called Morlocks or something like that. Because I remember because it was like it was almost like a the time machine reference. I was like, oh, Morlocks.
It's Wireless.
No, Wireless.
I can't say
I'm going to check it.
It wasn't Wireless. Like, it wasn't. Because Wireless is the one having the breakdown saying TikTok, TikTok, TikTok.
But she is,
The one that's hiding is the one that saves Peter because the monkey's going to kill her.
In her game, in Wireless's game, she just, I'm sure it is her, she just literally hides until everyone dies. I think it's her, or if it's not her, it's Mags.
No, it's the Morphlings. It's the Morphlings they've just said in the chat. Morphlings.
But in the is it? Because in Hamish's book, I'm sure they talk about it.
I watched it today.
No, but it's in the book.
I know, but
ringing a bell with me. There's something in my brain and I can't put my finger on it. Yeah. But it's like basically hiding out until the coast is clear. Yeah. That would be me.
Yeah. But it was the Morphlings who the hiding ones, because that was the one I was watching today. Because the woman jumps out and saves Peter, and they pull her in the water, and she's like gasping because the monkey chewed on her throat.
There's another. I can't remember which one it is. It's a previous winner, and it's gone from your brain. But it was like another one where they edited it out, so no one really knew that they were hiding out. It just looked like they weren't doing much. So it's all about like the way that they edit the footage.
Yeah.
You could literally be not even like hiding out. You could just be not doing a great deal. And if you're not entertaining, they're not going to focus on you.
No.
So
yeah.
There's a plus side, which is maybe you can sneak through and nobody will come for you.
But that's
or you wouldn't get food and medicine. You won't get much in the way of like offerings from the public. So it's like a double-edged sword. Do you want to be visible?
Yeah.
Or do you want to like keep quiet?
Yeah, it's one of those things as well, because you want to be entertaining, but if you start pissing people off, like especially the games masters, they would then fix the games to get like say
a hard line of thread, isn't it?
It was. I know what it is now. I know what it is now. So it is Virus's games. It's her. Well, she was in the 40 something, 49th Hunger Games.
Mm-hmm.
And she hides out to the very last moment to where there's her and somebody else, and the other person kills themselves by falling over and cracking her head, and that's how she wins her Hunger Games.
Oh,
that's what I need to do a bit of that. The course clear, and then I'll be like, I'm here.
I remember reading in the book, because you find out about the people who are with Hamish, as you find out about their Hunger Games, and it's Beatrice who mentions that it's her. She's the one who hid out until the end, but it's the last victor who was with her. They were chasing each other. She runs off. She trips over, cracks her head, and dies. And she's declared the winner.
All right.
That's the secret.
Yes.
But then again, it's not very entertaining, because you can't really like sell it as like, oh, it's the big surviving winner. It's like, oh, you win by default. So I don't think the castle would like that.
Yeah. No. Like, why she probably is the way she is now.
Yeah.
And because of that. Like,
what exactly were the repercussions for doing that? Because they wanted a spectacle. Mm-hmm. And people might feel shortchanged if you just hit out and you come out at the last minute.
Exactly.
And it's like, okay, so what are they going to do going forward? Are they going to tweak the arena so you can't hide out necessarily? Or is that why there's so many cameras now? Mm-hmm. Everything is captured. So it makes you wonder from like, say the 10th games up to like the 74th, the level of progression in terms of technology and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, 100%. And it's always like changing, it's like Katniss and Peter's walking through the things. Like they said, oh, it's midday. And then the dark's going to, and it's like, oh, they're realizing that, oh, they want the games to be ended quicker. It's like they can see what time scales or like entertainment. Like, so if the viewership is down, it's like, right, this is not working. Yeah. We need to like spice it up
we need to change it up a bit.
It's like Big Brother. It's like they're watching the ratings. Like, okay, what can we get the housemates to do? Like, let's give them a task. And then you get the audience involved. And I think it's kind of like an evil Big Brother type situation.
Oh yeah, 100%. Very sadistic. What got me though in the first games is Peter's ability to paint himself into a tree. Sorry, kid. Yeah, you're not going to be able to do that in enough time. Like, no, that really, it tickles the life out of me when you see him hiding.
Because I remember reading it in the book and being like, okay, and then seeing the scene in the movie, it was so out of the blue. I was like, what? They don't even need to have like included that. They could have skipped over it.
No. We can't give Peter any special ability. Like, he has nothing. We're just gonna make him paint himself.
But that's the thing, though. Sometimes just being likable is a survival skill.
Well, that's it. Mm-hmm. That's why Peter was he was absolutely brilliant at the social side of it. His interviews with what's his name?
Caesar.
Yes, with Caesar. His interviews with
were
massively different.
Yeah.
But he knew how to play the game. Mm-hmm. Her problem was she didn't. She was fighting against it. He knew what he needed to do and
like
say.
Like the announcement he would make and be like...
the baby and the wedding. And he knew exactly what he was doing and how to play up to the audience, because it's the audience that dictate exactly what
it's
happens.
A different skill set, isn't it?
Like, he was so good at it.
There's ways of being successful in this situation that are not the obvious like physical skills. Sometimes you've got to play smart with your brain, and I think he definitely did that.
He did, and it really helps him in the second games as well, especially when it comes down to allies. He really helps her go, we trust these, if we don't we go, like, let's just give them a chat. He has more ability than people would actually give him credit for.
It is one of his like strongest assets is his social skills, because that saved 100%. His life in many ways, because being able to convince Katniss to be agreeable and to like be cool, like don't be
a villain, basically.
Just behave yourself, because we're really up against it. That's not easy to do.
But even when he's in the capital.
But even in the second movie, like when they're in the games for the second time, and they start allying up and getting friends and stuff, and she still can't let that trust factor down. And Hamish explains to him, it's not about trusting someone; it's just about fucking survival. You don't have to be like best friends or anything. Just basically take the hints and the reasons. Like, say, I know they kept certain bits of, like, away from the Katniss so that Snow didn't find out, again, makes sense.
Yeah.
But with these movies as well, one of the questions I wanted to ask, because, again, I think they work well as a movie, but the especially, like, say, the two-part of the last one, it didn't flow or didn't have kind of, like, the same vibe as the first one and two, because I thought they were trying to cram too much in. I do think, generally, this would have made a better TV show, like, for example, Game of Thrones or that type of style, just so they can get all the elements in, all the different characters. Because we got introduced to some interesting characters in the games that were then snap fingers and gone, that would have been more interesting. You would have felt a bit more, you would have cared a bit more about them when they died, especially if we got a little bit more with them. Especially
that's the effect, isn't it? That's the Hunger Games effect. Like, it's, some of the people go out so quickly. It's like, people didn't get a chance to know them.
Yeah.
Didn't get a chance to root for them. And it's really interesting in Ballard when Snow starts to understand, like, how the TVs and the mentors and the broadcasting, how the whole propaganda side can literally save your life if you play the game well. And it's literally as simple as that, because it doesn't matter if you played bravely and you died. Like, you've got to be alive at the end of it. But that's, and try not to sacrifice too many of your morals.
But that's Peter. You've just described. You've just described Peter. He knew exactly what he was doing, even right up until the Capitol when he was captured. He still played into the whole propaganda thing to make sure he stayed alive, even though God knows what they were doing to him, because he came back and absolutely.
But he survived it, didn't he? So
exactly, and even he sees that later on. Like, he knows what's got, when he's out in the field with them, and they kind of like have to be wary of him. He even knows himself. Like, I don't trust what's going on in here. Yeah. I don't, because I know what's happened to us. I love Peter more in the books than I did in the movie, but I think that's because of the actor who played him. I wasn't too keen on the casting. That's not how I imagined him.
I think in the movie, it was a little bit like lost boy, lovesick puppy at times. He needed to stand his ground a little bit more.
And I wish the switched Gale and like Liam Hemsworth and him.
I wish all about that way, like switching the actors.
I think Liam Hemsworth would have been a really good Peter.
I grew to like Peter a lot more. Like, I liked him just as much as anybody, really. Like, oh, he's all right. But then by the end of like Mockingjay, I was like, after he'd been through everything he'd been through, I really did warm up to Peter a lot. And it probably is intentional, maybe by Suzanne Collins, for that to be coinciding with like Gale's sort of slight dodginess, and he's getting into some dodgy territory. And it's like, it just goes to show, like, what you go through. You can go through hell, but then you still have to make a decision as to how that's going to affect you. And it's like Peter was able to, for want of a better way of describing it, like, he kind of rose above it, whereas Gale,
his way out.
Yeah, like, I felt like Gale got stuck in it and became, he became a perpetrator of the very thing he's fighting against. And he's like,
And you can, it speaks more to Peter's character. I wanted to protect him so much in the last few pages, like in the last part of the book, when they'd say, you know, it's all kicking off. I really wanted to protect him because he couldn't protect himself. He can't protect himself from the things that he's gone through, and he's lashing out, like, to the point where they had to like literally chain him up and be like, no, like, keep him away from him. But he's trying to, he is in that whole thing, he's still trying to be him. It's so heartbreaking to, like, especially read through it, watching it. I am far too busy with everything else that's going on. The Peter kind of is like a secondary thought. But in the book, it's so you can't move away from him.
It's interesting. One thing I wanted to have a little bit of a discussion about as well is like the world that they live in. Because I think Kelly touched on it earlier, going from, like, say, all the districts and having the haves and the have nots and stuff. But the technology advancements at certain aspects, like like how crazy, like forward thinking, like a lot of the technology was. There was things where they couldn't control animals, like have, like they can basically make their own monsters at times, and like, and when they're doing things like in the games, like that technology and stuff, it just makes you think that they've got, like, I know. They make reference to certain, like, things in the movie where, or the sort where we're loving eating so much, we've got to take a drink to make us sick so we can eat more. And then,
like, the excess of it all.
Yeah, excess. It's like branching out to all the things. It was such an interesting concept, that world. Because when we start off and we see, like, District 12, we think it's like we are thought, because as I said, didn't read the books, I thought this was post-apocalypse. I thought like something had changed the world where I was going to have like a Mad Max type feel, but it wasn't at that type of aspect. As I said, it was very much like Running Man with the TV aspect, but also almost like a Blade Runner aspect with like the whole advanced technology and kind of like keeping it to one side and not sharing it with the world and stuff. It was just mm-hmm. quite interesting that I love the look and feel and how they used like the dresses and clothing as well. It was so unusual and out there and just different. A lot of brave choices, I think, as well.
Massively, the way that they're able to distinct between the capital and everyone else. But I'm sure, and I could be wrong on this, that Panam is, the capital aside, the districts are all manufactured to be it's something that the capital need, mm-hmm. even though they have all they're so mm-hmm. greedy that they have kind of self-manufactured these districts into mm-hmm. being something that will cater to them,
mm-hmm.
but also they have,
they just took everything out of it, don't they? Yeah, all the resources, uh-huh. all the money. And then there was something where it was I can't remember if I was doing a video or whether I was alive. We were talking about the like hydroelectric dam.
Yeah.
And it's like, why would you need to have people like dying in the coal mines? Or mm-hmm. why would you need people to be doing really tough, gritty jobs when you have other accesses to technologies and to things that would make it easier? Like, mm-hmm. people are living hard lives in some of the districts, and some of the jobs that they do are thankless. And it's like, if you have technology to do this, this, and this, uh-huh. and it's not being spread around, and the quality of life is impacted in pretty much every district, even the career districts. It's like, mm-hmm. there's going to be the haves and the have-nots within those individual districts as well. Yeah. There's going to be the people who can afford to send their kids off to be trained, and there's going to be the people who can't, the mm-hmm. ones who do the grunt work.
Because mm-hmm. there is districts that are actually liked by the capital, which is the ones where you get your career. People from, I can't remember their names. My brain's like mush at the minute.
To be fair though, it's like England. Like, say we get shit in the northeast. Like mm-hmm. down south, get everything. Like, sorry, Phoebe. Just saying. It just
depends. It's true. It's true though. Yeah. It's so true. We are such mm-hmm. a forgotten region that mm-hmm. it surprises me that we're even getting a studio built mm-hmm. in our city centre.
But do you not think that's because it anymore? Did? Well, it's still a city, but
I didn't know. I didn't know if it'd been demoted. I have no idea.
We've still got a university, so that's why we're past this. I think the studio is getting built up here just because it's cheap. That's mm-hmm. probably it's cheaper than like building something down.
We're such a forgotten region. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous.
And over the years as well, like, it's not like just something that's happened for a little while. It's historical, mm-hmm. and the impact on the people,
mm-hmm.
and people sometimes lose faith. And so, mm-hmm. especially when you see people walking around District 12, and you can just feel like, they're so depressed and down and fed up, because mm-hmm. there's just not a lot to live for. No, it's a hard life.
And it's for someone else. Yeah. It's not even to benefit them. No. They don't get District 12. I mean, there's a few of them, but we only ever get to see District 12. But like I said earlier, there's a couple of districts who do get some benefit mm-hmm. from the capital. They have like kind of favor with them. But then there's the other ones. I'm sure 8, 9.
It's very
9,
quick for 4, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah. Uh-huh. And they do it. The capital don't necessarily need what they're getting from these districts. It's just because they can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No. It's literally just because they can.
Yeah. But then again, the thing I always find fascinating when it comes to the movies as well, because when you see the rebellion, you think, oh, there's going to be war, there's going to be battles. But it's not. It's like done like a propaganda battle. It's almost like saying, oh, this is our video. I'm putting this out there. It's like almost like to get people's votes or people's like kind of like, oh, on your side of this thing, mm-hmm. which is
always so temporary as well, isn't it? Mm. Like, it's always, they'll just say whatever they need to say in the moment.
It's
also fickle.
It's like, we've had a downed ship, go run over there, take a picture with you standing there looking triumphant, but we can't have Katniss in the middle of the war in case anything happens, because like that's the poster child. It's almost like, again, using it as an example, like the royal family doing it a service in the military before, like when they're younger, like Prince William and Harry was part of the RAF. Like, I know, was it Harry that can fly helicopters? I don't know.
I think they both can.
Yeah, but
he was in Afghanistan, wasn't he?
Yeah, but they were protected.
But he's very well protected.
I love that meme of him. Have you seen it where he's like getting interviewed and then like the bell goes and he's like running off in his fatigue or something? And it's like when like the doorbell goes into your takeaway and he's like proper giving it. Relatable.
But, yeah, absolutely.
But it's like that type of aspect. But again, I think I said before, with the final movies, there was a lot of stuff, a lot of filler, a lot of things that I felt could have just like streamlined it to get to where we needed to go. But the other two, even though they were long movies, it felt like everything there set a purpose.
It fit into place.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually really like the last two movies. I like the pacing of it. I like where we get to see the war aspect, like we are in war, and I like to get that to see that. I love to get to see the team. Oh my gosh, what's her name?
Natalie Dormer.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I love her. I love seeing her team. I like the fact that they explain what an AVOX is, because nobody get, they don't talk about, and these AVOXes, it's fucking grim what happens to them, and we actually have one on her team. I love Mahershala Ali, his character in it. I thought he was absolutely, I felt like I was in it with them. I was like, yeah, let's go, I'm ready to go. I mean, I'd die in a second, but I'm ready to go with yous. I love the pacing of it. What I really disliked is, especially in the movies, the use of Gwendolyn Christie once again, not used to her full potential. We had it in Star Wars. We now get it in Hunger Games. It's not fair. Stop putting her in these roles that she is meant to be in. Like, she could have done so much more. And they just take it away. And it's like, no, you have 2 seconds of screen time and we're just going to take you out of it and just put you over there. Don't like it. Hated it in Star Wars, even though I love the character. Hated it in this as well. I was gutted. I was really excited to see Gwendolyn Christie in this.
No,
two seconds.
One of those things. Again, as I mentioned, I think I've said before, I think it would have like been better paced or felt for me a little bit easier if it was a TV show, so you could give all the aspects, all the characters what they could deserve.
Especially the end one, especially the last movie as well, because there's so much going on. There's the you know, the war, there's the war element to it. There's them getting to the capital. Is the capital getting bombed? It's Snow getting killed. It's getting killed. Yeah. It's them, you know, taking the capital back. It's then Katniss going off and starting her life, like, as it's meant to be. They could have paced that out a bit more. A TV show could have done it a bit more justice, but I love the compactness of the first and second movie.
Yeah. So I know you mentioned before, the new book came out this year, and like, I've never seen Sammy get so jealous that Kelly got it before her as well. Like literally.
It was literally just, I had it pre-ordered, she had it pre-ordered. But the pre-order that we had...
Oh, did you hear that? She had it pre-ordered.
Sorry. And then Kelly was like, well, I tell you what, if I'm not getting my pre-order, I'm just going to go out and get it. And I was like, I'm at work. No!
I literally was like, I'm gonna see a spoiler. I know I am, so I've got to. I had to like really be careful, like scrolling and stuff. And I was like, because you know what people are like.
They will do anything.
Yeah.
Like by the end of that first day, there's people who are like, oh, I've read it, and there's people within like a day, oh, I've read it twice, and I'm like,
but what? But again,
bitch, I'm not even getting past the first page.
I know. I'm like, what? Have you not moved for hours? What are you doing?
But I think the problem with, like, say, with social media and stuff like that, with you, with your presence, people would have been going out the way to target you, to try and spoil it for you as well. So
I will say, when I first mentioned, when I first ever said anything about the Hunger Games, nobody spoiled anything. Like, I was
fully expecting
spoilers. It was when I read the first book, or I was in the middle of reading the first book, and then I was fully expecting like loads of spoilers, and I actually was pleasantly surprised.
People that's were really, really cool good. About it. No, and that's really good.
Like, because you know what it's like. It's like if you put yourself out there, there is a chance that someone's going to say something. And then somebody did write a comment, and I was like, oh, and I was waiting for it to happen, and I can't remember what it was exactly, but it didn't happen, and I was like, were they just making it up? And it was fine. I was like, oh, it's fine. It didn't even happen. But it was like one of those things where I was like, okay, and then it never proved to be the case, so it was all right. Yeah. But
I was I was furious when I got my copy of my book. I really was. Not only was it late, it also had, and this is so ridiculous, but you've got to bear in mind, I collect books. It had a tiny tear at the top.
Oh.
And the top of the cover, I was fucking raging. I was so angry.
When you
I
first
was
get it and everything, like, oh.
literally tiny little tear at the top. The box had been, it looked like someone had stood on it, to be honest. So I'm lucky I
Actually,
got it in the state it was.
though, I was in Waterstones the other day and I saw these copies they had of it was the first three, the Hunger Games, Catching Fire and Mockingjay, and they were like special covers, and they, I don't know if you've
Oh.
seen them, but they've got like, you know how like when you've got it closed and sometimes you have foil and sometimes people will like draw on the page like when it's all together, it was like every page was like colored at the side, so like there was yellow, there was purple, and there was like green or something or orange, and it was I was like, okay, I don't need to buy these, but if I had spare cash I probably would have bought these. I was like, these are a treat, but they were really lovely like copies, and I was like, I don't need them. I was buying other books anyway, so I was like, I've got these, this will sort me out. I don't need these, but they were really nice.
Well, who's
So I
the publisher?
collected.
We could tag them in and say Kelly really needs these.
Really needs
Well,
them.
get Waterstones to give us some promo or something,
Oh, absolute.
some
Oh,
free
hey,
shit, because it was in Waterstones,
I give
so
them enough money. They should give something
yes.
back.
Tell us
I
about it.
would certainly get them. The ones that I have, because like I say, I do collect books, so if people are buying me them as presents, it is a collectible kind of book. But the ones I've got for the Hunger Games is simple, and I love them. And I love the fact that me Ballard is exactly the same. The only one that is different is the most recent one because it's hard. It's a thingy
Hardback.
one. Yes, I have, but the other ones look exactly the
Yeah.
same, and
See,
it's literally just the
I
black
prefer
book
a
covers.
paperback, you know, like when I'm
No,
reading.
oh
But
no.
I
I
did
take it
see,
off.
oh no, I from a paperback, what do you mean?
Yeah, the cover. The
You
cover
said
doesn't come
give
off a paperback. You mean
no, give me the
the hardback you can.
hardback, the hardback
The
ones,
hardback has a
yeah.
jacket on,
Oh,
yeah.
because it always
The
slides
jackets,
off.
yeah.
Oh
I
no,
take
I'm on
them
about
off,
just regular paperbacks.
yeah.
Like,
Oh yes, I have,
I
yeah.
prefer them just because I find them easier to hold, right? And I saw this video this girl did on TikTok the other day where, and I didn't even realize this was a thing. And I was like, I went and checked some books out after. She was talking about the paper that people print on in the UK, like publishers print on, and how it's like a floppy book versus a stiff book, and how it breaks the spine and everything. It's really interesting.
I've watched that video because she taught me how to not break a spine. So you kind of take the first cover out, put it back in, the next cover out, put it back in. You flip the book that way, you flip the
Yeah.
book that
See,
way.
She's like showing
I'm doing
like
my
the
best here not to
comparisons.
make floppy or hard jokes here.
Well, get your mind out of the gutter. We're talking about books. But yeah, she told me how to do it and not to be able to break the spine. And I have been so great because it's a moment where I will cry. That if I see a spine that's been broken, and hence the reason why I don't lend my books out to people.
Just one question as well, because there's a person in the chat. She's a new listener, bless her,
Farah.
Farah. She's asked a question. What do you think Suzanne Collins' next book is going to be about? Another District 12 tribute, a tribute from another district, or Rebel Synthesizer?
Oh, it could be any, really, actually. Like when you
I
think about
really.
it.
I really, and this is something that I've been thinking of for a long time, and but you already had mentioned it, is Tigress. I really think, given the impact of her character in Ballard and only the snippet that we saw of her in the movie, and it is a snippet. There
Glimpse
is,
of that, yeah.
yeah, absolutely. But look at her.
But like,
Look
yeah,
how she looked.
what happened? Like we know A and we know B. I want to know the journey, but at the same time, I worry that we're turning into like we're doing that thing, aren't we? Where we're like, I don't want to see her go through a horrible situation, but I am genuinely curious as to how she evolves physically to that degree. Because I mean, we're all for a little bit of body mod here and there, but this is to the nth degree. So it's like,
Let's
it's not a little celebration. It's
talk about
something.
Maureen Ponderosa. She did a full one as a tiger.
This is it. So it makes you wonder, like, what went down and what did you go through? And I don't want to put the character through something horrible and bear witness to it, but I'm curious of the journey. I
Same.
think Tigress would be brilliant, or Plutarch as well. I think he would be a really
I
interesting
think
perspective.
Plutarch's so, yeah, because there's so
But
much
then maybe
there.
it gives away too much. I've seen people say, oh, it could be a double-edged sword, and I'm like, oh, actually maybe it could be brilliant,
Maybe
or
it could be.
it could be, you know, like showing you the magic tricks.
Yeah,
showing you behind the curtain too much to wear it.
It's my favorite saying. I think, like I've said it so many times on this podcast, it's like when you can make up your imagination or think about certain things, it's the Michael Myers effect. It's like if you know why Michael Myers is evil, it kind of spoils it, and you don't need
the ambiguity for some reason it just clicks in your brain and it just it engages you.
It can, your imagination could probably come up with a million different things. And if it's not quite on par, that disappointment factor could then spoil, not saying it will be bad writing or bad like movie. It's like, oh, that's not kind of what I had in mind.
Yeah.
It's not what I kind of thought about, but like that aspect there. So I know they're going to transform the new book into a movie. So how excited are you that? Do you think this is going to transcend, go from page to screen as well? Or are we going to get like a little bit of a, like we got with the...
I think it depends. It depends on how accurate they're choosing to be, I suppose. Because they could go very accurate, book accurate, or they might take a few liberties. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to probably honour it for the most part.
I think they have to.
It's just, it gives us so much extra information, like context. And if you start tweaking with that, I mean, also the blueprints right there. You've got the book in front of you. Why make it harder?
Yeah, and
but they do that. Everything, like if you think, because everyone wants to tell their own story. Everyone wants things. If they read the book, they'll say,
I wish I could have changed this. Oh, guess what? I can actually do that because I'm doing the movie.
That's the thing, isn't it?
Because Sammy's still not over Pet Sematary the remake after they changed the end.
Oh my god, I'm so angry. I've never been so angry at something. Like Pet Sematary is one of my favorite Stephen King books. I love the movie. What the fuck were they thinking of the 2019 one? I can't believe you brought that up. I'm gonna get so angry. Like, you want to see me go from one? You want to see me go 1 to 1,000? This is how it happens. I would love to see that, because of how impactful and how heartfelt. And don't think you're going into this movie and it's gonna be a happy one, because it's
your brain itself.
It's gut wrenching.
We had an inkling. We're like, oh. We know some stuff's going to go down.
Yeah.
But it was still shocking. Like, gut-wrenching. Yeah.
I was not okay even 2 days after finishing this book. And I feel like to do this book justice, you need to do the story as it was on paper. Because...
As intended.
Absolutely. You will alienate so many fans if you decide to change anything in it. There are some really brutal and harsh scenes in this book. I
see them softening a few things, but they need to keep the gist of it, don't they? Yeah. Like, if they start softening it too much, then it waters it down.
Yeah, exactly. And
that's the point you're trying to get across, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you want an impactful movie, do the book.
Well, that's the thing, though, because again, like, just looking at the time and everything as well, that could be another part two, shall we say, for this podcast. Like, say, when they do bring the movie out, it'll be interesting to get having that kind of
November
conversation.
November next year, I think. It seems to be November's the year, because you had Wicked last year, Wicked Part 2 this year, and then next year it's going to be Hunger Games. And then I read today, I don't know if it's 100% confirmed, but the Gollum movie is going to be 27, November 2027. So our Novembers are booked up for the next couple of years.
I'm excited for the Wicked one, but the Gollum one can get in the bin. But
I'm curious. Version. Like, I love the way he does it. But we'll have to just put a pin in that one. But definitely for when the Sunrise movie comes out, and maybe even when we get the trailer, because the casting and doing it like this summer. So.
Yeah. I am loving all the promo work that's coming out from it. I love how my algorithm has picked up people I never come across, because, you know, originally my algorithm picked up you, and I found you, and then I found every other Game of Thrones people on there, and then all of a sudden...
Well, there's only one Game of Thrones. Let's not put that out there.
To be honest, you are now the only Game of Thrones person who comes up on my algorithm. But
that's me. Like,
I think it's because we're friends. I think it's because we're friends as well. That's kind of like hell. when the book came out, I loved how my algorithm instantly picked up everyone, and I got to see all these fantastic people.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I got to see all these fantastic people talking about it.
I kind of work TikTok is still alien to me. I kind of
Only it's a doddle when you get used to it. If I can do it and I can't do anything, I could barely get the iPad to turn on. I can do it. You're all right. You're never too old.
Yes, we'll say that again. But yeah, so
this has been fun.
Yes, well, like I say, we'll definitely will pick this up again, just because I think.
Oh, as soon as the trailer comes out, I'm going to be messaging it like, can I come on and talk about it?
We'll do. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll do a trailer reaction as well.
Oh, yes.
Don't watch it. Tell us. You'll probably know before we do that it's come out.
Yeah.
So
I'll tell us. Good, and I'll be like, right, okay. Do you have 10 minutes? Because we need. I'll be good,
just message us and say, fire the podcast up. Let's do this.
Nip off to the loo if you're at work. We'll get it sorted.
But yeah, that'll be interesting. So, yeah. Kelly, I know we've already got your links in the description below. So if you want to find you, like I say, on Instagram, on YouTube, and on Tickety Talk, what have you got planned? Any fun things that you've got to think coming up?
I do, yes. I'm in the middle of working on like a few different little projects, and they're all kind of like halfway done. So I'm like, do I say anything about it before it's done, or do I wait till it's done and then announce it? It's like that thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm working on a little project. It's nothing major. It's just it's just something I've wanted to do for ages, and people have asked me ages and ages and ages ago to do this, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna do it. So I'm not gonna like say, because I feel like I'm gonna like shoot myself in the foot if it all goes wrong, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, I don't want to tempt fate. But I have got some things that I'm gonna be announcing soon I'm really excited about. And I'm just gonna continue doing the same old. There's a couple of new shows that are coming out that I'll be watching, like The Gilded Age in June. I love that, and it's just another show I can watch week on week. So and then keeping an eye on what's like all the things that are in development, like the second season they're doing of Shogun and things like that, and House of the Dragon. Just keep the tabs.
And they've just announced a spin-off as well for another Game of Thrones, haven't they? So they announced when you were on holiday. I was laughing my head off because you were kicking off.
No, they announced a delay.
Oh, delay was it?
Is it the Night of the Seven Kingdoms?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's been pushed back. Yes. Oh, and also, but I don't want to like freak people out, but I do think it's a bit weird that that's been pushed back, and then you've got Wheel of Time being cancelled.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, does that bode well? But there is one other thing I want to let you guys know about. It's Hunger Games related. In November, for my birthday, I'm going to London to see the Hunger Games live stage.
Oh, exciting.
It's a new thing. They're building this like new pop-up kind of theater at Canary Wharf. It's going to be, I believe it's the first production they're doing is this Hunger Games thing. So I was like, oh well, it's my birthday in November. I was like, well, let's have a look. I was like, let's just go. so we're going to that. And I'm not entirely sure like how it's all going to play out. I believe it's just going to be like the first Hunger Games story, like the part one basically. But I'm excited to see how it all plays out. Video that they showed you of like what to expect is like people jumping all over and acrobats and stuff, so it looks pretty
intense,
immersive. I'm excited for that, so I'll definitely let you know how that goes. I'm gonna try and like vlog it as much as I can.
Very cool
But that's
that sounds
about
awesome.
It
that sounds awesome.
But yeah, like I say, if you jump on Kelly's TikTok, there's a mountain of information. It's hard to take it all in, but it's all quite very interesting. And if you catch one of Kelly's live, it is fun. It's hilarious.
It is good.
It's like,
I need to get back in. It's just everyone's on different time zones, and it's hard to get everyone's schedules. And it's just like, you know, when you fall out of a rhythm, like, we need to get back on the horse, because I love doing lives with the girls.
I'm trying to get off the horse. That's the thing. I'm just like,
you've gone round and round on the merry-go-round.
I just keep pulling them back on. Just get on that horse.
It's like Sammy, I'm done. She's like, no, you're not. You're not. You've signed a contract in blood. Okay, you can't get rid of it yet. I was like,
it's a lifetime one. I'm sorry, my friend, but you're stuck with me for life.
You've sworn vows. It's done.
I'm getting a break soon, I think.
You are.
I put in for my time off.
Yeah. He's having a holiday.
Needs a break.
Yes, he does.
So what's happening tomorrow, Sammy?
Tomorrow, Monsters is back. We did have a break. Not a break.
You get a break.
That was unforeseen circumstances on that one. And I do get a break at the end of the year because I make it happen. But no, tomorrow we are back and we are doing the 2003, I want to say it. Ghost Ship.
Right. Which has had, which has got reputation as one of the best openings of any horror movie. But then the, after that, it goes wah, wah. But yeah, that's just my opinion.
And that's mine too. And yes, you'll hear all about it tomorrow if you tune in to Monsters of North.
Yes, the episode goes out tomorrow. You can see it all. Yeah, I've set it at 8. I can change the time, but that's
no, no. Let's we'll do that for another time. But yeah, let's keep 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. The audio for this episode and Monsters Up North do both go out tomorrow. And with it being a bank holiday, the likelihood is it'll probably go out a little bit earlier than what I normally do. We will also, just so you all know, we'll have a new schedule put up each week of what everyone is doing. So you can keep on track of what is going on our YouTube channel.
Because I don't even know what's going on. But yes.
I am trying to get it organised.
Tuesday, we've got the Lee and Chris back with Top Grumps. They're doing a ranking of Suburban Commando.
Suburban Commando, which I actually watched with Chris yesterday. Holy shit, that film is terrible.
Yeah. Hulk Hogan. Interesting. Anime
He's
Club.
Still alive.
I think so.
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately, yes. I wish they could keep his
like
gob shut.
He's like just leather.
Oh, you're just
leather.
He's promoting.
Man, that's what it is.
Actually, he's trying.
DFS's fault.
He's got a beer line that they're trying to buy the Hooters, because you know how Hooters in America went bust.
About Hooters getting like either going into administration or something or getting taken over.
Yeah, so Hulk Hogan's trying to buy Hooters.
God,
Hooters. But yes. But so that's on Tuesday. We've got Anime Club on Friday. I don't know what they're talking, so I don't even know what
it'll be on the schedule.
Yeah, but
so...
I kind of pronounce half the stuff they're talking about.
No,
anyway.
I can't either, and I'm not going to disrespect anyone by trying.
Yeah, so that's on Friday. I don't know if they're live again. I quite liked it live, so like I say, that'd be interesting.
I think they are. I think they're back live again. I think Top Grumps may be live as well. That could be a lie.
Cool. We'll just make it up as we go along. We've got the Women of Nerd Culture on Saturday. They're doing. Actually, they've not told us what the episode's about yet, have they?
I will tell you on the schedule tomorrow.
Right, but they have a new episode out on Saturday. Then we have our new format. We're doing the movies we loved from the '80s. So we'll be talking all about our favorite 80s movie, why we loved them, and why the '80s was the best decade for movies. We'll have lots of arguments and a lot of comments in the chat.
It's going to be a lot of arguments. Actually, it's not, because times have changed in 4 years. So don't think there's going to be as many arguments as what they possibly could have been 4 years ago if we did this.
Yeah, it's not just going to be Sammy saying, I've seen Ghostbusters.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
See, times have changed. I've seen more movies than one.
But yeah, so that's going to be next Sunday then. We are taking a hiatus for a few weeks so we can try and recover from all the stuff that we've been doing.
Gonna take a break, but we are coming back with a brand new format. It's gonna be subject based. You're gonna love it. You're gonna get so much out of it. So much conversation. It's gonna be. I am very excited about this. I've got some class topics.
I'm excited.
But yes,
Paul isn't.
But yeah. So thank you everyone who's listened. Thank you for everyone who joined.
Thank you for having us on, guys, as well. It's been so much fun. Like,
it's
I love
been
coming
great.
On here. So thank you so much.
I'll always try and pull you in at some point. It's just like,
you know, I'm always around, man. You know, I'll stop you
even if I'm stalking you around London, just to say a big thank you as well. Well, we did hit the landmark on the Nerdy Up North YouTube channel. We hit 2,500 this week. But in the last few days, we've jumped up to over 2,600 and odd. So we are getting a few hits this week.
Get in there.
So,
yeah.
And we've had our first video that's hit over 1,000 views.
Ooh, it is celebrations all round, isn't it?
Yeah, let's
say. It's not easy.
No,
it's not easy
really
to do at all.
Not on YouTube. I wish it
not
was easier.
And not with what we do either, because, you know, it's a hard struggle. Was it the tough
video? But you guys do stuff that, like, this is what you do. Do you know what I mean? And you stick with what you know and what you like. So
we've not wavered in 4 years. We've, like,
Because otherwise, if you start compromising what it's all about, you'll lose your love of it. And so I'm like, guys, keep on doing what you're doing.
Totally agree.
But yeah, so hopefully have a few more things to see. And again, get some interesting people on. Like, say, probably it's not Brian Bussard, bless him. He wanted a fee. No, just
he wanted us to pay him.
cost of living crisis, don't you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm surprised he's not just panto every bloody year. So.
I know, that's what he thought. All I said, I want to talk about Flash Gordon. He was like, you can for a fee. I was like,
oh.
Anyway, you're getting behind the scenes stuff though. That's
oh, this is it. Yeah, I'm getting the inside scoop.
Yes. Yep. So same bat time, same bat channel.
Stay nerdy, everyone. Bye.